Let's read together God's Word this morning in the Psalms, Psalm 135. Psalm 135. We read this in connection with the last two questions and answers of the Heidelberg Catechism on the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. The Word of God at Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon king of the Amorites, and Og king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for inheritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. We read God's inspired word that far. It's on the basis of this passage and in accordance with all of God's word that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 52, the last two questions and answers, 128 and 129. The question is, how dost thou conclude thy prayer? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. What doth the word Amen signify? Amen signifies, it shall truly and certainly be, for my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as important as it is for us to begin our prayers in the right way, so also is it important to conclude our prayers in the right way. Jesus Christ taught us to begin the right way, properly addressing our God as our Father which art in heaven. And in the Lord's Prayer, that model prayer, we are taught to conclude in the right way as well. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. With these concluding words of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us especially two things with respect to the way in which we are to conclude our prayers. And both of these things are highlighted in the Catechism's explanation of the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. On the one hand, we are to conclude our prayers by praising God's name. We have that at the end of the answer to question 128. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name, may be glorified forever. It's proper to conclude prayer with praise to God's name. And then, on the other hand, we are to conclude our prayers with words that indicate that we have confidence in God that He will hear and that He will answer this prayer that we just offered to Him. And the fact that we can pray with confidence comes through not only in those words, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," but it comes through also in that conclusion to the prayer, that very last word, "Amen." This morning's sermon is going to focus on the latter of those two purposes of these words in the Lord's Prayer. We're going to focus this morning on the confidence with which we can pray, the confidence of knowing that God hears and that God will answer our prayers. I would, however, like to say just a couple of things about that other concluding purpose of prayer, namely to give praise to God's name. The Catechism, as I read a moment ago, mentions that. And we need to have that before our minds too, so that as we take leave of the Lord's Prayer, we don't forget that important point, that it's proper to conclude our prayers by praising God's name. If you really think about it, that makes very good sense. It's true that when we pray to God, we are asking things for ourselves. We're asking things for myself personally and my church and my family and my children. All sorts of petitions that relate to our lives here on this earth. But in the end, we know that prayer and that even our lives are not about us, but all about God. And lest we ever leave the impression that when we pray to God, in the end, what we are seeking is my glory and my honor and my praise, we're taught in the Word of God to conclude this way. May that never be the impression in our prayers that it's all about us. But in the end, it's all about God. And so we pray fittingly at the end, words of praise to His name. When we pray these words specifically, as Jesus taught us to pray, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." And to add to that, even all of that, forever, eternally, thy kingdom, power, and glory. What we are doing is ascribing praise to God's name. We need to do that. I've said it before in our consideration of the Lord's Prayer. It's tempting to make prayer all about us and our needs and our cares. Once again, by the Word of God, we are directed to what is the ultimate end, the praise and the glory of God. But as I said a moment ago, that's not going to be our focus this morning. We're going to focus on that other aspect of the conclusion to our prayer, the words that we say that work powerfully in our hearts so that we can be confident that God not only hears, but answers our prayers. Let's look at these last two questions and answers using as our theme, concluding our prayers with confidence, or praying with confidence. Just 2 points this morning, an important question, and then an encouraging answer. Praying with confidence, an important question and an encouraging answer. Can we, when we go to God in prayer, at the end of that prayer, be confident that God has heard this prayer and God will answer this prayer? That, beloved, is a very important question. To put it differently, is there power in prayer so that prayer accomplishes things, so that God hears our requests and consequently God answers our requests? To put it negatively, are we praying simply in vain so that we may offer many petitions to God and we may be saying many things to God. Many words come out of our mouths directed to God. But in the end, that's all vain because God will not hear or cannot hear, or God will not answer or cannot answer. Can we, with confidence, pray to God? These last two parts of the Lord's Prayer and the Catechism's explanation of these last two parts of the Lord's Prayer sheds light upon that very, very important question. A question that radically affects our view of God, and a question, as we will see in a little bit, that radically affects the way in which we approach prayer and our prayer lives. Beloved, this is such an important question because of the magnitude of the things that we are asking of God. We need to know in the depths of our hearts whether or not it is true that God has just heard those requests and whether or not God will answer those requests. We're not dealing here with trivial matters. This isn't a wife saying to her husband on a Saturday morning, if you're able to and if you're around Target, would you mind picking some things up for me for the house? Making a request to somebody else. Those things in the end don't matter. It's trivial. If he's able to do it because he's around the store, he'll do it. But if he's not and he's pressed for time, he won't. In the end, no big deal. That's not what we're talking about with our requests that we make to God. Not to minimize the first section of the Lord's Prayer, the petitions that have to do with God, but consider the last three petitions that we've been discussing in the past few sermons from the Heidelberg Catechism. These are no small matters. And that's why in these past few sermons, I've tried to emphasize the need that we have for these petitions. Because when you see how we need these things that we are asking of God, it really emphasizes to us the importance that God hears these and God answers these petitions. We're talking about our need for daily bread, not the trivial few things that we need for our house, but we're talking about our very existence on this earth, what we need day by day for us to go forth in our lives here on this earth. Even more important than that, we're talking about the forgiveness of our sins, your standing and my standing before not another man or another woman here on this earth, but your standing and my standing before Jehovah God. Do we stand before Him as guilty, condemned, worthy of death? Or innocent, righteous, forgiven, worthy of life. And we're talking about a request that God would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The ultimate fulfillment of that, deliverance from all of our enemies when we get to heaven and the new earth. But the fact that right now we are called to live in a certain way. We're called by the power of the Spirit in us to resist temptation. If God justifies us, forgives us, we must go forth in a life of holiness. I say again, consider the magnitude of the petitions that we are taught by Jesus to bring before God. And when you see the magnitude of what we are asking of God, you see how we need to know the answer to that very important question. Can you and I be confident that when I brought those requests to God, He hears them and He will answer them? We just prayed those things in our congregational prayer 20 minutes ago. Went through the entire Lord's Prayer. Went through those last three petitions that I just went over a moment ago. Were those words simply in vain? Or did God hear the prayer that was offered by Trinity Protestant Reformed Church at 9:50 in the morning on Sunday. Critically important that we know the answer to that question. That question is so important because it affects our view of God, and it affects our view of prayer and our prayer lives. Now, if it's true that God never hears these prayers that we offer to Him, and what is more, God will never even answer these prayers that we offer to Him, what does that say about God? What does that say about the way that you think about God? What does that say about the fervency of our prayers? Are we really going to go forth, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, praying without ceasing? The idea there being that prayer is always something that we do. It comes out of us naturally as God's children. Are we going to be very disciplined? Because that's what prayer takes. It takes discipline day in and day out to go before God and pray. The answer to this question regarding the confidence of prayer has everything to do with our very practical view of God and view of our prayer lives. So far in our discussion of prayer and the confidence with which we pray, pretty much what we have done is looked at it from the perspective of God. Does God hear? And because of who God is, does He answer these petitions? That's one perspective to look at this question from. It's just as important for us to look at it from the other perspective, which is from your perspective and my perspective. Because when we look at ourselves and we look at our own prayers, that affects our answer to that question of, can we be confident that God will hear and answer this prayer? The reality is that we don't always pray as we are called to pray. The truth is that each one of us sitting here this morning knows that there have been times in my life when I do not pray, maybe even very long times in my life where I do not pray. Every one of us sitting here this morning knows that every prayer that I offer to God is not a great prayer. Some very poor prayers that I offered to God. We can look at ourselves and see our own sin, see our own deficiencies when it comes to our prayer lives, and ask that question. In light of the way that I am doing it, does God really hear that prayer? And will God really answer that prayer? We've experienced the prayers that we offer to God. And when we're done offering that prayer to God, we go forth and we say, did that prayer really ascend all the way up to the throne of grace before God our Father? We've experienced the times when we hear possibly somebody else pray in public, and very eloquent, beautiful prayer, not in a bad way, not vain repetitions, but just a very nice prayer. And then we try to pray by ourselves, and all it feels like is rambling before God. And simply we compare the two, and we see our own weakness in prayer, and we say, is God really going to answer and hear that prayer that I offered to God? We've gone through the times where it's not rambling in many words, but all we can muster up are a few sentences before God. Thankful that we can even do that, but that's all we have. And we need to go to somebody else to help us to pray. But even mustering up just those few words, you recognize your own weakness and you say, really, will God hear that? We may have had times in our lives where we've walked in the ways of sin and walked away from God. And it doesn't matter if that's a day, a week, a month, or maybe even years. And finally, the Spirit of God convicts us leads us to see our sin, leads us back to God, so that we pray to Him. But yet, what you can say to yourself at those times is this: really? In light of everything I just did in the past day or week or month or year, even years, now I'm going to offer a prayer to God? And in light of my unfaithfulness, will God really hear? And will God really answer these petitions that I bring before Him? Yes, we can look at it from the perspective of God, but this becomes all the more real when we see our own weakness in prayer. We need to know the answer to that question. Confidently, can we go to God so that He will hear and answer? That question becomes very interesting when you look at some of the things that Scripture teaches us concerning prayer, and especially some of the examples of prayers in the Scriptures. And it's not just prayers, but it's the fact that in Scripture, very often we read of a prayer that a man or a woman offered, closely united to the fact that God hears that prayer, and then followed by the fact that God answered in a powerful way that prayer that was offered. Beloved, we can read those and be encouraged by them. We can read them and it does something to our own prayer lives. It works zeal in our hearts to be all the more fervent in prayer. But it adds something to this question of the confidence of prayer. Let's look at some of those things that draw very close together: the prayer, God hearing it, and then God answering that prayer. You can start with those very well-known words, for example, in James chapter 5. James 5, verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The idea there being prayer does something. It's effectual. When you pray, God works. And you can see the evidence of the effect of that prayer. There are some examples of that in the Old Testament. And some of them are familiar, some of them are less familiar. For example, Joshua chapter 10. This is Joshua leading the armies into battle and fighting the enemies in the land of Canaan. And what we read in Joshua 10 verse 12 is Joshua praying to the Lord that the sun would stand still and the moon would stand still, one of the amazing miracles in the Old Testament that led to a victory. Joshua 10 verse 12, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." And then 13 is the response, "And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people avenged themselves upon their enemies." There was a prayer. God heard that, and God performed this mighty miracle. Another example, King Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah at this time was very sick, and so sick even that the prophet Isaiah was commanded to go to Hezekiah and say at the end of verse 1, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." He was right at the very end of his life, he was going to die. Then we read in verse 3, Hezekiah's prayer, and he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And then we read in verse 5, and the implication of verse 5 is that there was some more to Hezekiah's prayer. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And the way of prayer, God worked in Hezekiah's life to remove the sickness and add life to his days. One more example. Judges chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. Here we have the judge Samson, once again with the possibility of death in front of him because of his thirst. Verse 18, and he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Simply illustrating the point of a prayer, God hearing, and God answering. The difficulty is that, does that always take place in our lives? The difficulty with this is that at times in our lives we may make petitions to God, and God may hear them, but does God answer them? We may pray, for example, that God would provide better for myself and for my family, that God would allow me to support all the more the church and the school and all of the causes of God's kingdom. But then it doesn't happen. We can pray, for example, that God would take away a sickness from a child, take away the suffering that a child may have. Especially when our children are very young, we see them struggling with sickness, and we pray, take away that sickness and bring health back to my child. No more pain. But yet it doesn't happen. Or at least it doesn't happen shortly after the prayer is made. We can pray to God, don't take my loved one. But yet, the loved one will die. We can pray to God, oh God, turn powerfully the heart of my loved one as they are walking in sin. Lead them, oh God, back to Thee. See their sin. Repent, turn in faith to Thee. We can pray that very, very fervently, many, many times. But yet, it may be the case that that same person continues to walk in sin. How do we reconcile that? And what can we say then to that very important question? Can we be confident that God hears and answers our prayers? Beloved, you know the answer to that question. And the answer is an encouraging one. The answer is yes. A resounding yes. God will hear the prayers you offer to Him. And God will answer and does answer those prayers. The Catechism explains that in light of these last words of the Lord's Prayer. That is, all these we ask of Thee, because Thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And then at the end of question 129, For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire of these things of Him. We're taught to pray, For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that when we conclude our prayers, we can know that this is true, that God heard that, and God will answer that prayer. And it has everything to do with who God is. We can give a resounding yes to that question because of the God to whom we are praying. What God does with these concluding words of the Lord's Prayer is say, consider the one that you are praying to. Because when you consider that God, His attributes, the nature of that God, His goodness, His love for us, you can conclude your prayer with absolute confidence in your heart. It was for that reason that we read Psalm 135 this morning. Because Psalm 135 teaches us everything we need to know about our God as it relates to prayer. If we know the truths concerning God set forth in this psalm, then we can pray, and we will pray with this confidence. Let's run through this psalm together. The first few verses are a call to praise. Praise ye the Lord. And then we have in verse 3 these words, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. And that right there sets the theme for the entire rest of the psalm, the fact that this Lord to whom we pray and that we are to praise is good. Overflowing goodness to His people. And then on display in the rest of the psalm is this goodness of God. Verse 4, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. In eternity, God chose unto Himself a people, Israel, brought them to Himself, and made them precious in His eyes. They're His treasure. And then, this is the nature of the God to whom we pray. For I know the Lord is great. Verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that He did in heaven and in earth and the seas and all deep places. In verse 7, the same idea. Verses 6 and 7 talk about the power of God in creation. Every time we look outside, we see the handprint of God. Every time we read about history, what we are reading is the working out of God and His control over the entire universe in which we live. Not only is it a goodness and a power of God in creation, but then we get to verses 8 through 11. And that talks about the goodness of God in destroying the enemies of Israel, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both man of beast and beast. Verse 10, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings Sihon and Og and the kingdoms of Canaan. Out of the goodness that He had for His people Israel, as they strived to get into the land of Canaan, God delivered them from Egypt and destroyed those enemies in Canaan. And then the conclusion, all of that for the sake of verse 12, and He gave them their land for an heritage unto Israel, His people. And then verse 13 makes it all the more beautiful, the fact that this goodness, this power, this destruction of the enemies, this giving of the land of Canaan, comes from a God whose name endureth forever throughout all generations. Beloved, what does Psalm 135 mean for you and for me this morning? It means that our Lord is good to us. It means that He chose us, the Israel of the New Testament, the church. It means that you and I are peculiar treasures to God, that we are the apple of His eye. It means that He is all-powerful in the world all around us, so that everything we read about in the newspaper is taking place according to the hand of God. And what is more, for the sake of this peculiar treasure, His church. It means that all of these enemies that seek to destroy us, which were pictured in the Old Testament by Sihon and Og, those kings of the nations of Canaan, God destroys for us today. It means for us that He has a land to which He is going to bring us, the reality of the land of Canaan, which is heaven and the new earth. And it means that our God did this in the Old Testament. Our God does this for us today. And His name is eternal. He will continue to do this for us forever. What it means for us is that God is powerful to save us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that in the sharpest contrast to what the psalm continues to say that there are other gods, gods of the imagination, that are not true. Think about this. If that was the God to whom we were praying, the idols of heathen, silver and gold, the gods that have mouths but speak not, eyes they have but see not, ears they have but hear not. If that was the God to whom we are praying, when you ask the question, can you be confident that He hears and will answer? The answer to that is emphatically no. I thought about this in light of, for example, the saints in Singapore, many of whom who came straight out of paganism, walked the streets of Singapore, and what you see are exactly what Psalm 135 talks about. The gods of men that have eyes, there they are, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Can you imagine the joy and exhilaration of coming into the Christian faith and thinking about the prayers that you offer, that you used to offer and that you now offer? I used to pray to a dumb idol who cannot hear and cannot answer. But now this is the God to whom I am praying. The true, the living God, the powerful God of heaven and earth. I go before Him with confidence that He will hear and that He will answer my prayer. God says to us this morning, consider the one to whom you are praying. When you consider the God to whom you are praying, the God of Psalm 135, then it changes everything. When you consider the God to whom you are praying, the doubts disappear and the confidence in this God arises. And Psalm 135 is simply another way of talking about these concluding words of the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." What we talked about from Psalm 135 is simply an explanation of that. God's is the kingdom, the one kingdom, the true kingdom of heaven and earth. God's is the power, a power on display in creation, a power on display in the church, and God's is the glory through everything He does. He lifts His name on high, and all of that forever. Consider, beloved, the God to whom you pray. We need to understand this in the right way. The truth is not, consider this God who is all-powerful, bring any request to Him, and because He is this God, He will answer that prayer. No. And that's why when I said a moment ago that sometimes we offer petitions and things don't happen that we just offered, we can wonder. Well, we have to ask the question, are we praying in line with this Lord's Prayer? Are we praying in line with God's will? It's not God's will. And God does not teach us to pray in this petition to give us much in abundance. It's not God's petition for us to pray that He would remove from our lives every difficulty. God does not teach us to pray that He would keep somebody from death. It is not the case that any petition that we offer to God, He will hear and He will answer. He hears and He answers these truths, these petitions. There is a reason, beloved, that Jesus taught us to pray these six petitions. Because these petitions are according to the will of God. And when we offer these petitions according to faith, then our answer to the question, can we be confident that He hears and answers, is a resounding yes. And that according to the promise of God for us. Consider all of these petitions. He'll answer them. And He hears them. Hallowed be thy name. God will always, through everything, glorify His name. Thy kingdom come. God will answer that petition. Everything that is taking place in this world is bringing about the coming of God's kingdom. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will, as we all know, always is done. Give us this day our daily bread. We may have an idea of what we need for this day, but God knows. And God will give you and will give me exactly what in His wisdom is right for me this day. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If you go to God in faith and seek the forgiveness of your sins, truly sorry for those sins, God does not deny that request. Always He will hear, and always He answers that prayer. And last, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He will deliver us in eternity, deliver us from all of our evil ones. And He will not lead us into temptation. Part of justification is sanctification. And the Spirit works in us powerfully. Although not perfectly because of our old man of sin, we do fight and we are able to resist in a small way the temptations that come before us. These petitions, prayed in faith, because of who God is, He hears and He answers. But obviously we pray more than that. It's not always the case that our petitions line up perfectly with the exact words of the Lord's Prayer. It shouldn't be the case always. This is a model prayer. But what we need to do then, which allows us to have this exact same confidence in prayer, is pray those other petitions in harmony with these petitions of the Lord's Prayer, especially the first ones, the hallowing of God's name, the coming of God's kingdom, and the doing of God's will. We can pray for our children that God would lift that sickness, that God would deliver them from pain. But it's not just that petition. It's in light of the hallowing of God's name, the coming of God's kingdom, and the doing of God's will. God, take this from my child. Restore him to health. But in the end, do that which hallows Thy name and brings about Thy kingdom and is according to Thy will. Then when we get to the end, for Thine is the kingdom, power, and glory. Amen. Absolute confidence that God will hear and answer that prayer. In every petition that we offer to God, we put it in harmony with this model prayer and have good confidence because of who our God is. In the first point of the sermon, I talked about how we can ask that question from two perspectives, the perspective of God and us. Really, what we just talked about answered the former. Consider the God to whom you are praying. What about the latter? Perspective of us. And that's where the amen of the prayer comes in. And especially as the Catechism explains that. Because this explanation of the amen answers those doubts concerning our own weakness when we pray to God, something we all experience as we talked about earlier. When we pray amen, this is what it means. Literally, it means truly and certainly. It shall truly and certainly be. And consider these words, beautiful words from the Catechism. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. We feel certain things when we pray. We don't always feel them as we ought. We don't always have that fervency for the petitions that we are offering as we ought. We don't always feel as though God hears this prayer that I offered. Remember the amen. Not just the conclusion, but this beautiful truth. It shall truly, certainly be. Because I have a God and I have a Savior. A Savior who sits at that God's right hand, who intercedes on my behalf, who takes this very weak prayer that I feel certain negative things about. He takes it and he perfects it and he brings it before God, his Father, so that we can say, amen. Truly, certainly be. Now that doesn't lead us to say, I don't need to care about this. I don't need to try to pray more fervently, try to pray more diligently. He hears them all anyway, of course not. When we hear this explained, it leads us to just the opposite. Let me try harder to be more disciplined in prayer, to pray more according to God's will, and to be all the more fervent in my praying to God. And in the end, when we consider this glorious truth, that we have a God so great that He hears and a Savior who intercedes, it leads us to do exactly what Psalm 135 does. At the beginning and at the end, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that sit in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of the Lord, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. And then the end. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Bless the Lord, Trinity Protestant Reformed Church. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we're so thankful that we could consider this truth and conclude our consideration of the Lord's Prayer, confident because of who Thou art as God, that even these words that we bring before Thee now, Thou dost hear and Thou wilt answer. May we go forth with that confidence in our praying, knowing Thee as our God and Jesus Christ as our Savior, Lord, and Intercessor. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.